Grace, greetings. Welcome to the DDP. You guys know me. If you've been around this podcast long enough, I tell you I'm going to do one thing. I turn the recording off. I get back into scriptures and I go, I want to say something else. And so the next day, we don't do exactly what I told you we were going to do. I said we were going to finish or continue to work in Romans 5:1. I intend to keep that promise to a certain extent, but I'm not done with what I was talking about yesterday. I thought I was. If you didn't listen to yesterday's podcast, I highly encourage you to go find out our thoughts on Isaiah 32 and how that relates to Paul's statement. Here's Paul's statement: therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I told you that Paul's really taking that from Isaiah 32, the 15th verse, when the Spirit is poured out, and then 16th, 17th verse, he gives the works and the effect of righteousness. And I pointed out that those, it's the Holy Ghost work. So the Holy Spirit is working righteousness out of the believer. You and I, as grace people, and predominantly large part of my audience would consider themselves grace people, for whatever that means. I don't really like labels, but I think you know what I mean. That we don't have a problem with that. We read that, we hear that, we go, yep, righteousness is inside of us. Righteousness is coming out of us through our works, through our actions. We're not defined by our works or our actions. We are righteous, independent of those works or actions. But then I told you yesterday that a guy like Thomas Darby, early 19th century, 1830s, 1835, the father of modern-day dispensationalism, he read Isaiah 32, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back for him. He saw God. He saw the church around him not working out righteousness, and so he figured that must be Israel. That can't be the church, because that's not happening. And one of the reasons that he had that was that he had had a personal revelation of his own righteousness. He saw the righteousness of God as being a work of grace, an act of faith. And then he read things like Isaiah 32, and he did what I've seen happen in the church over and over and over again. We have a revelation. We see something in the scripture that is powerful, that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, that is mighty, and we don't see everyone else walking in it. And so here's how I think most people respond. They see that everyone else is not walking in it, and they begin to try and pull the grave clothes off of their friends and their neighbors through the direction of the Spirit and lovingly try to introduce people to this message. That's one way. Or two, they turtle up. They go into a shell and say, nobody's going to believe me. Nobody's going to accept me. And both of those are actually legitimate responses. Sometimes the turtle up is the best move because some people you're around won't accept it. And sometimes the loving, gentle pulling of the grave clothes is proper. The third way is really popular among a minority subset of Christianity, but I think it's the most dangerous response. They see a revelation, they get a truth, and they consider that everyone else that doesn't have that is not saved. And that's the seedbed to cultic activity. And then they look outside of their circle and go, so-and-so doesn't agree with that. Well, that's probably because they're not saved. And I was involved in ministry for a long time in which our go-to response for people that didn't see Scripture the way we saw it was, well, they're probably not even saved. And I can't even fathom having an attitude that because someone didn't share my revelation of Scripture. I'm not talking about I have a new revelation. This stuff's not in the Bible. I'm talking about I see something in the text and I say, that's reality. People can walk in that. And then I share it and they don't. My knee-jerk now is not, well, I don't even think that guy's saved, because he ought to see that. And I've said this probably 10 times before, but I'll say it for the 11th time. If you're involved in a ministry, in an area of ministry, in any way, and you, I don't mean you're a preacher, you might be, maybe not, that's not my point. Maybe you're following a ministry, you're going to a church, whatever, and revelation is presented to you, And your response doesn't have to be, oh, yeah, great. Maybe you don't see it. Don't fake it. But if your response is, oh, I don't see it that way because Pastor so-and-so hasn't seen it that way. And if he hasn't seen it that way, then it must not be real. Oh, that's a dangerous place to live. You're really allowing someone else to tell you how to have revelation. And allowing someone else to tell you what to walk in and what not to walk in. That's a rough place to be. Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first effect of justification by faith is peace with God. God is not mad at me. God is not upset with me. God is not out to get me. God is not at war with me. These are facts of justification by faith. Let's go back to Isaiah 32, verse 17. The work of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. These are spiritual promises because your righteousness is a spiritual promise. Your actions will not always be righteous, but what will work out of your righteousness is peace. I believe we all want our actions to be righteous, but the result of being justified by faith is not we have perfection in our actions with God. No, it's we have peace with God. You may not be walking in perfect actions, but are you walking in peace with God? It's a great place to start your prayer life today. To be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll put a bow on this and move on into the second verse. Told you we were going to slow down. Let's have some fun as we study the Word. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.